praying that it has been a great week for each one of you that is listening to this show, that continually give glory to God, that and take some value in the words that He has put on my heart, and I thank you for that. Just want to say, man, I hope He has been challenging you and growing you and stretching you to get you out of your comfort zones to step into His truths and His truths alone. Before we get started today, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to You today with an open heart and open mind that Your words and Your truth speak to our hearts. Let us step out in courage and strength in Your truth. Take hold of all that You have promised us and given to us and have created us for, Father. Father, we just want to honor first and foremost You and Your kingdom so that this earth may look more like it through us, which You have created and designed each one of us to do. And we're so thankful for that opportunity. And it is Your Son Yeshua's mighty and holy name we thank You for, we ask, and we pray all these things. Amen. All right, man. So last week, last episode, we were talking about the difference between evangelism and discipleship, and talking about that the church has been totally focused on the evangelistic side of it, which is a part. Now, this is not a knock on the church. This is not a derogatory statement on the church. I just think that in today's culture, that it's easier to evangelize and just preach the good news that is Jesus Christ, which it is 100%, and that is a part of it, right? But I think where most of today's corporate churches and even the body of Christ has failed is to take hold of simply that evangelistic style of delivering the good news, to grow, as far as the corporate church, to grow people, to get more people in. And ultimately, I believe it starts out as a deep desire to bring more people to Christ, which it, as the church, as the body of Christ, the church, we should want to do. But in order to do that, we are ill equipping the men and the congregants and women of the corporate church through the body of Christ. We are ill preparing them to go out and make strong disciples for Christ, right? We're planting them on rocky soil. We're not giving them the right foothold that they need to stand in Christ and the truth. No matter what happens, the storm comes, we don't get washed away because our foundation is built on the rock. And we, and I understand that, and through this, that is the goal. I was told that I think it's just my perception, that it's a perception problem within me that I see the church this way. And I can respect that, and maybe it is, but it's something that God has put on my heart that we have to quit falling back on the flesh. Like I said, we cannot continually live in the weakness of the flesh. That's not what the Bible tells us, that we are a new creation. It tells us that we are a new creation in Christ. We no longer live by the flesh, we live by the Spirit. And we have to take hold of that, and we have to preach that, whether it be the corporate or as the body of Christ, and take hold in the truths that Jesus has given us, right? Yes, live in Christ by grace. His grace, His love, His mercy for us, that the Father sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, that when He looks at us, He no longer sees the enemy that we were, but because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ through the grace of the Father, that we now are heirs to the kingdom of heaven with Jesus. And that is 100% grace. And I understand that grace is the key, that we have to stand on that foundation of grace. That yes, I cannot do this without God's grace, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it without His grace of love, His grace of forgiveness, right? I cannot do these things and it without grace. And it's what I'm about to say and what I'm about to go into, grace and authority, is we have to, in my opinion, this is what I feel that God has put on my heart and it's time to grow on, is that because of God's grace in His sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are now disciples of Christ. And through that, we have the authority that Jesus had on this. He gives it to us by us believing in Him. He has shared the things that the Father has shared with Him, He has now shared with us, because we have been given to Him by the Father, right? He chose us, or He chose the 12 disciples. He also chooses us as we come into Him, and the things that happen in our lives that lead us to accept the grace that is Jesus Christ. We stand on that foundation. We stand on that rock 100% alone as believers in Jesus Christ. That is grace. His grace was His sacrifice on the cross. But that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. Yes, we can never be prideful or arrogant. We must be humble in the fact that, yes, I am prideful that God made me who He made me. I take pride in who God made me and where He's leading me. But I'm humble enough to know that without the grace of the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit, I can do none of the things that He has called me to do, right? So what I'm saying is, yes, we live through and by the power of Jesus Christ, the Father, grace and love for us. But that leads to the next step in discipleship that comes up, is we cannot just stand on grace alone. Not that we disregard or limit grace's authority in our life. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we have to take away grace. It is through grace that we have authority. That we have the authority of Jesus Christ to do His work as He did on this, that He was given by the Father on this earth to do. And we cannot do the work that Jesus has called us to do without His grace, without His mercy, without His love, and without His provision. We cannot do it. But once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, yes, we still live through grace, and His grace and His continuing love for us, and His continuing to grow us in His word and in understanding and all the things that grace accompanies us in. Yes, I agree 100%. That is what we live on. But we cannot stand on grace to revert back to the flesh. That, I'm still in the flesh. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when you accept Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. Right? And it is by God's grace that you are that new creation. Your past is dead. You're gone. And the flesh has no authority over the spirit, because we now live by the spirit, not by flesh. And that's what I'm saying. That's where the corporate church and the church of the body of Christ is weakening and is watered down the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ and what we are to do. If we are to go out and make disciples of the whole world, it doesn't say to evangelize to the whole world. No, it says to make disciples. Now, is part of that sharing the good news? Yes, that's what evangelism is. We share the good news of Jesus Christ and the promises that he has made us and has given us. But then we have a responsibility to build the foundation of those people, of the new comers to Christ, in the truth of Christ. And it's not always easy, and it's not always pretty. I mean, we're going to have to go through some hard things as followers of Christ, but nobody wants to tell the hard truths of Jesus Christ anymore. And I'm not talking about hellfire and brimstone. We talked about that. There are different ways, and I believe one of the ways is right here, me talking to you and what he's put on my heart to share. You know, it's through the Father's grace that we've been forgiven of our sins. And it's by his grace that we are now heirs, like I said, through Jesus, to all of the glory of God. You know, it is through his grace that he provides us with the Holy Spirit. You know, grace is not to be taken for granted or never thought of less again, because grace is what keeps us rooted in his word and his understanding of his plans for us through his love and grace through Jesus Christ. But the authority that comes with that grace that we have been given is to bring others to Jesus Christ. And if we don't speak on authority, because we are changed, right? We have been given, the same powers as the apostles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, all of those guys, right? You think they went just evangelizing through these towns? Or were they healing people? Or were they casting out demons? They were. And we have that power, but we doubt because we only hear the evangelistic side of it, not the truth of it. Hope that makes sense. But we have, as followers of Christ, the same authority. He has given it to us as his followers, because now we live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But today's churches keep preaching we can't do it because of the flesh. And to me, that's Satan diminishing God's word. Again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I stand on it. It's him offering the fruit to Adam and Eve. Did he really say this? Yes, this is what Jesus says. We no longer live by the flesh. And I think that's a hard concept for a lot of people to get over. They want to keep falling back on the flesh because that's what they've heard ever since they've been growing up. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says you live by the Spirit. He has given us the Helper, the Spirit. And that same Spirit was placed on him when John the Baptist baptized him. It was the same Spirit that rose him from the dead that now lives in us. And Satan's saying, nah, you're just still in the flesh. You can't do all that. Because if we did take that truth to heart and live in it and step into it, this world would look totally different. It would look more like what Jesus came and intended for it to look like, more like heaven each and every day, because we would be stepping out in the truth and the power and the authority of God, not us, of God through the Spirit, to truly preach his word. Are there going to be some that are going to be left behind? Yes. Yes, they will be. That is the truth. There's some that will never believe, that are so caught up in this world that no matter what we do or say through the power and authority that God the Father has given us through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, that are not going to change. There are going to be some left behind. But as true believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we have to quit falling back on the flesh. And we have to stop using that as an excuse. Now, are we going to have problems? Or are there going to be things that we wrestle with? And that's where God's grace steps in, that those things that he is graceful, that in our pursuit of doing what he has called us to do, we may make a misstep, but we always turn to him in repentance and repent for the misstep that we made. And he is graceful to show us how and what we messed up on in order to get there. That was our whole life leading up to our acceptance of Jesus Christ. And because of the grace of the Father through the Son's sacrifice on the cross, he has now given us the Holy Spirit, which provides the same authority that Jesus Christ had on this earth to bring people to Jesus, to show them the signs that we are of Christ, that we are of Jesus Christ. And through that he has given to us because he has chosen us, we have that authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to make people see Jesus in us. But we're wasting it falling back on the flesh. And we can't do that. It's because of his grace we have the authority. And because of his grace alone that we have the authority to do his will, just as his Son did his will on this earth. And that's where we have to take up our cross each and every day, to know that this day was not made for us. It was made for him, for us to glorify him. But he did not send us into this world empty-handed. Now that we accepted Jesus Christ through his grace and love for us, that we have accepted Jesus Christ, he has now given us the same authority that Jesus had to do those things and to do those miracles so that they can see Christ in us. We can no longer, men, sit back and say that we are followers of Christ and still say we sin and have the troubles of this world, because we are not of this world. And that's where our minds have a hard time wrapping around it, is that we still see the world for the world. We have not truly given ourselves into Christ, into the authority of Christ. Right? I mean, really, we doubt. Peter sank. Why? Because he doubted. He doubted what God tells us, or who Jesus was. And we have the same problem, but we can't, as true followers, the disciples didn't have any doubt of who Jesus Christ was. They had seen all the things. They had seen him after he had been buried in the tomb, right? And what did he tell Thomas? You believe because you have seen, and blessed is the one who has not seen but believes. So we have the same power as the disciples did. We have the same gifting if we choose to allow ourselves to open our minds and our hearts to the authority that we have and not think that it's a blasphemy or that there would be no need for Jesus. Well, we understand as believers, the only reason we can do these things is because of Jesus Christ. And not anything we do in this fleshly form, because the Spirit has been provided to us, that is going to diminish who Jesus is. Even in the disciples' days, they thought of them as gods, but they always referred back to Jesus, and that's what we have to do. We're not going to limit Jesus' power. We're not going to limit the power that he has given us to turn back to his name. No, we are not gods. It is because of Jesus Christ that we are able to do these things, that these healings, we have been given the authority by him. And he was given the authority by the Father. And now we are given the authority through Jesus in the Holy Spirit that we can do the same things that Jesus did in healing and correcting and doing, living a life not of this world, that looks totally different than what this world says it's to look like. And the church, corporate and body of Christ, does not teach that. We teach well, let's fall back on the flesh. We can't do anything because we're in the flesh and we have to rely on, yes, we have to rely on Jesus' power. Just as the disciples did. They knew. It was no miracle or they knew that it was because of Jesus that when he sent them out to do the things that they were to do, they did it because they trusted and believed in who he is. And Satan keeps telling us in the modern church that, nah, you really can't do that. Nah, then that makes Jesus look weak. No, that makes Jesus look all the more powerful, and Satan don't want you to hear that. Satan doesn't want you to know that you have the power of Jesus Christ living in you and that he can't stop you because Jesus has already done that. In our lives, when we accept Jesus Christ, we've already defeated Satan, right? Doesn't mean he's not going to try to still attack us and attack our flesh and everything. But that's all he can attack is the flesh. But the flesh has no control over the spirit. When we fully take full hold of the grace and authority that Jesus Christ has given us, then the devil has no power on us. And we can look in the face of Satan and say, you know what? No, not today. Like the saying goes, not today, Satan. Right? Why? Because we have the peace, joy, comfort through the grace of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to have the authority to say, you have no control over me because I am Jesus Christ, period. But we can't continually fall back and look the same as we did before we were saved. I mean, there's some things that change, and I get that. There's a lot of things in me that's changed. And is it going to take time? Yes, because we are God's work. We understand his timetable is different than ours. And we grow, right? And I could have told you 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been saying these things. I would have continually been asking for forgiveness because I was living more in the flesh than I was in the spirit. And I am thankful to God by his grace through Jesus Christ that I can now come and feel confident in saying these things that I am saying because this is what he has shown me. Because I have that relationship. He has built that relationship with me and that trust in me to go and say these things and to get off the fence of, yes, by grace we were saved. And it is because 100% Jesus Christ that if I go up to somebody that's sick and I put my hands on them and I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, this person is healed, then I have that power and I cannot doubt that it has been done. And that is the power that we have. That's the power the disciples had because they had seen everything and they believed 100% that Jesus was the Son of God. Do you believe 100% that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And if you do, then why are we, this is a question I ask myself as well, why do you doubt that we can go out and do the things that Jesus did on this planet? Because we doubt, because Satan has put that doubt in us. He has twisted God's words through the preaching of the corporate church to limit his power in us. And I'm here to tell you that there is no limiting power except for your faith in Jesus Christ and who he is to limit your power on this planet, to heal the sick, to do the things that to be the disciple and go out and to make more disciples, start new churches, to do the things that Jesus has created you individually and specifically to go out and do, right? Not to just evangelize, build disciples, build them on the rock. You have been given the authority to speak his word because he has provided the Holy Spirit, which gives you the truth, which gives you the power of discernment in order to test it, what you feel and what you think. The Holy Spirit is saying you go to his word, you read his word, and he confirms what you are talking about, just like he has me. Because it's been a lot of research and a lot of reading his word and a lot of not questioning, but making sure that I am hearing from the Holy Spirit, that he is talking to me. And I've said it on this show before, I cannot and do not ever want to say anything that would contradict God's word and what he says. But as I've read and as I've learned and continue to build that relationship with him, he shows me, he opens up so that I can say these things boldly and without hesitation that it is his word. So I want to read, where'd it go? To you, sorry about the long dead space there. I was trying to find my page. And John 16 and verses, it says, this is not the one I want to read. So hold on. I'm going to read you John 17, 22 through 26. I had it and then lost it. It says, the glory that you have given me, this is Jesus talking, says, the glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me and love sent me and love them as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So we have, because Jesus asked the Father, that we have it, right? We have it. He tells us right there in his priestly prayer. You can read all of 17, John 17, right? These are Jesus' words. This is what he's saying. So we have to stand on that truth and that truth alone, that we have what he was given, right? We have that, right? And it says in 16, the work of the Holy Spirit. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So why are we living on just or preaching on just grace and not the authority that has been given to us by Jesus Christ? Right? That is the, we have the authority. But because we listen to the world instead of what this book says, we have not gone and done the great things for some of us. As a whole, there are parts and there are places and there are things where churches have taken up the truth of Jesus Christ and went out and done the things that has done. But now in today's society, and let's say I'm 53, so in 50 something years, we have stopped doing and believing this because we have stopped making disciples. We had started evangelizing and evangelizing only and not making true disciples in preaching the truth and the authority that by God's grace he has given us to do. And we have weakened the body of Christ through that inability to see that Jesus gives us all that we need to do everything that he did on this earth. So it's by grace that we are given the authority of Jesus on this earth to do and go and make disciples of every nation on this planet. But because we doubt, because we listen to, oh, we just live by grace and we're still caught up by the flesh. No, that's not what his word says. We now live by the Spirit. And the flesh has no control over the spirit. But we have to believe. And our faith is what gives us the strength and courage to go out and do what Jesus has called us to do. But because our faith is weak, because we only listen to evangelism and not discipleship side, that's where we have fallen off and let Jesus Christ down. And doing the Great Commission to go out and make disciples of every nation on the earth. And that's what we have to get back to. If we want to see God's glory, we want to see Jesus coming back and ready. Well, let's make where he's coming back to as ready for him. We need to build more soldiers. We need to build the army of God, right? We need to build it up. And right now, we're not building. We're making people, when the wind blows, they're going to be blown down the road like a tumbleweed in Texas, in an old western town. And that's not what he says we are. We are built on the rock to withstand the storm because he has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us all of the authority that he has given to us to go out and do what he did, to bring more people to the kingdom. And we cannot, through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to go out and do the things that he did. But we can't doubt those things. When we pray it and ask it, we have to believe it is done. We have to believe that I prayed it, it's going to happen. Now, granted, again, our timetable, his timetable, two different things. So we have to be patient and we have to understand that it's coming because we prayed it and we asked for it. Sometimes there's an immediate need, and sometimes that will be granted. Sometimes God doesn't see it as an immediate need. So it's going to take some time, and he's going to have to prepare you for it, and that's fine. But our strength comes from the grace that God has given us in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross to be in a position of authority by that grace through Jesus and our following Jesus through the Holy Spirit that he has given us to empower us to do the things that we read in the Bible. And we think, oh, that was the disciples. They seen all that. Jesus says we do the same thing because we are grafted into that vine, which is Jesus Christ, through the grace of God. But now He knows we can't do it on our own. So he empowered us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, like I said at the beginning, is the spirit that came down and sat on Jesus when he first came, and it rose him from the grave. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathed the Holy Spirit onto the disciples, John says. Right? Accept it. Take it. Run with it. Go make disciples of every nation, because that is who you are and who I created you to be. We have our own unique way in doing that, but because we are created each individually and unique. But don't underestimate that God is spirit. He put that spirit into a physical form in Jesus Christ and then gave him the full spirit of himself to go and do the things on this earth that Jesus did. And Jesus says, that is now yours because of me. And because you have believed in me, and because of your faith, you have what you need to go out and do what I have commanded you to do. So don't be afraid. Don't fear. How can you fear when nobody can kill us, right? Because we're not of this earth. We are not of this world. We are of the heavenly places that God originally intended us for us to be. The only way that we go and see the Father is through the love and grace and power of Jesus Christ and our belief in him. And it is not by works, but through our faith, we do create the fruit of the vine, right? We produce the fruit. How can we produce fruit that's going to last, it's going to be good for eating, if we're not planting it in solid soil? So that is what God has been putting on my heart, that it is, and we do live by grace. That is true. And it's okay for churches to preach that message, because it is part of the message. That is by God's grace through his son, Jesus Christ, and the provision of the Holy Spirit that we live and our sins are forgiven. All of that is true, but we cannot stand on that. It is time for the church, us, the body of Christ, to go make disciples, not tumbleweeds, not things that won't hold up to when the hard times are coming. That they can't have joy and they can't have peace. They look at everything and think it's horrible. And we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, believers in who Jesus said he was, 100%, no doubt, that we have joy, because it doesn't matter. Whatever comes in this world, excuse me, only gets us closer to being where we're supposed to be. And we have to pick up our cross and go after it, because we are given the authority by Jesus to go and do, not sit back and just rely on his grace and let him do it. No, he has called us to go out and spread his truth and to show him, or to show the world, that it is because of Jesus they can have this life too. And because of his sacrifice, they can have it. And then we have to build them up so they can go out and build others up that Jesus brings to him, that brings to us, right? We have to go out and we have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, evangelism. That's the good news. And then we have to build them up just like the apostles and the disciples did throughout the whole book of the Bible, right? Acts and Romans and all of these things, Titus and Jude, right? We have to go out, and we can't limit God's power in us. Don't do that, men. Take hold of the truth that is, yes, we live by grace, that Jesus, because of the grace of the Father through Jesus Christ, we have been given the provision of the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to go out and do what Jesus did. We cannot have any doubt in that, in his authority. And now that we have that authority through his grace and love for us, that we go and apply it to make more disciples for the kingdom of God. So men, as you go out and do what you do today, answer the call of men.